somewhere to run.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. When things get rough, or even when things are good, amen, we have somewhere we can run to. Amen. Amen. It's a good thing to be into the Lord and the Lord into you. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. We've been having a good time working our way through the epistle to the Romans. Amen. We're going to continue that quest here this morning. Amen. In the 10th chapter, with just a few more verses from the Apostle Paul that are going to be a blessing, I know already. Amen. Amen. So we want to look at something going on here. We're going to have a reading from the Old Covenant. Some of you may have copies. We did make a few copies available this morning of our lesson. And if you don't, we're going to be looking in the Old Testament. I have to give you a head start because a lot of people aren't familiar with the book of Nahum. Amen. And so you might have to look in the contents. That's okay if you want to look that one up. Sometimes Nahum is not well known how you can get to it. But it's the book of Nahum, chapter number 1. Some people say Nahum. So however you want to pronounce it is okay. We're going to read chapter 1, verses 11 to 15. And also the New Testament from the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the church at Rome, chapter number 10, verse 11 through 17. Amen. So let's see, when everybody's ready and you have it, we just say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Looks like we're ready. Amen. So we're going to take a look. Let's have someone read that Old Testament scripture reading from Nahum, the prophet, chapter number 1, verses 11 to 15. And then we'd like a reader also for the New Testament scripture. All right, Brother Mike.
There is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thus said the Lord, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yes, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. Mm. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off the graven image and the molten image. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile.
Mm.
Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace.
Mm.
O Judah, keep thou solemn feasts, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off.
Amen, amen. Powerful word from the minor prophet Nahum. Amen. And now we'd like to hear the New Testament scripture reading from Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 17. Amen.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Mm-hmm. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him.
Mm-hmm.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Mm-hmm.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
Mm-hmm.
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Mm-hmm.
And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, mm-hmm. and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report?
Mm.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord to the people of the Lord, the blessed word of God we're going to use for a topic, delivering faith through preaching. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Let's have a brief word of prayer. Lord God, we bless you and praise you. Thank you, O God, for the good news of the gospel.
Yes.
Father, because we look around in the world and all the rest of the news is not so good.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We hear of trouble on every side, wars and rumors of wars, young men and women shedding one another's blood in the streets, oh God. And even those who you set to protect us sometimes out of order, God, killing our young people. And so, Father, we know the world has nothing but bad news, God. And on every side, we look around, there's so much more bad news than there is good news. So right now, God, we thank you for the gospel.
Thank you, Lord.
Which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
Yes.
Father, we praise now for ears to hear and hearts to understand, yes. Father, that your word would be sown upon good soil and that out of us it would produce fruit.
Yes.
To the praise of your glory, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And Father, we ask for that 100-fold blessing. We're going to ask for the best because we know who we're dealing with and who we're talking to.
Oh, yes.
We're talking to him who holds everything in his hands, oh God. And so we come to you, Lord, and ask that you pour out a blessing that we might get understanding from your word, that it might be a cushion to us, oh God, and a shield, oh God, to cover us from things in the world. Father, we pray special grace for those who are afflicted, oh God, with these kind of things that the world have inflicted, oh God. Right now, give them special grace, Lord, that they might be able to make it through and come out, oh God, giving you praise, honor, and glory. Bless your word in the sanctuary today, God, as it goes forth. Bless every ear that hears and give us all hearts that understand. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So looking at this whole thing, we can see some things that it became apparent as I was looking through this whole Roman epistle. And as we get to this 10th chapter, we see Paul has already identified the fact that the Jews basically are no different than the Gentiles as far as how they stand. And where did he get that from? We've seen already he got it out of the Old Testament. He showed you in the law and the prophets where God saved whoever, no matter who they were, all the time he's been doing it. But so it was kind of there, but they didn't pay much attention to it. The fact that folks like Ruth the Moabitess got saved, Rahab the harlot got saved. We could go on and on. We talk about all these examples that all the prophets said that the gospel was to the whole world all the time. And so the Jews got it twisted, we would say, and thought that this is something exclusive for us, and we're on a higher level, and we look down on the rest of the world, which was not what God intended. Just like he does not intend that for the church. The church is not intended to say we are the church and everybody out there are the sinners and we're the saints. Well, that's not the idea. The fact is, all of us came out of the same big pot, out of humanity. We were all lost, heading in the wrong direction. God turned us around, gave us a right heart, and gave us faith to believe in his son, and he did it all the same way. This is the part that's so interesting about this text here. So it's not that we're all that in a bag of chips, if you will. It's that God called us from wherever we were, whatever we were doing in life. He opened up our blinded eyes so we could see that we need mercy.
That's right.
He provided that mercy when he gave his son Jesus Christ to be crucified on the cross.
Amen.
He has made that the most famous thing in history because, you know, you can't get away from it. You can act like you don't notice that the calendar is divided by Jesus Christ, and I tell that to people all the time. You can act like you don't notice that, but it's there. What's your answer? Tell me why that's like that.
Right.
You know, same thing I like to say to the evolutionists, why are we still practicing a 7-day week?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd that come from? It came out of the Word. It's been that way ever since God established it.
Yes.
Never has changed. I don't hear anybody talking about changing the structure of a week, do you?
Amen.
I don't hear it. You just get up on Monday morning and you get yourself moving to work, and Friday you say TGIF and you're heading on down the highway. You're glad it's Friday, you got the weekend. Okay, well, that's the way it's been all the time, right?
That's right.
So don't tell me it's been another way sometime. It's been like that from the beginning.
Yes.
You just don't want to admit it. So a lot of things are right under people's nose and they don't see it.
Yes.
So you and I, you know what, we didn't see it. There was a time we didn't see it. We were just minding our business and doing our thing. And one day God woke us up.
Amen.
And he did that.
He did.
And he did, and now you're starting to notice the things of God. You see what God is doing in the world. You understand all that mercy. I think about the boatload of mercy I received before I got saved.
Yes.
Because I just think about how I was living.
Yeah.
the way I was going through the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he had every right to say, that's it, I'm tired of you, you out of here. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do that.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, and I'm thankful. It just escalates my gratitude that he didn't come to me when I was in my mess and say, that's it, I'm tired of you. He could have done that. He would have been right. He wouldn't have been wrong. He's God. He's holy.
Yeah.
If he stumped me out while I was in the midst of my sin, he would be doing the right thing.
Right.
He would be ridding the world of a troublesome person
mm-hmm.
that was not doing stuff right, not thinking right.
Yeah.
But he didn't do that.
My Lord.
He waited till one day when I was in my distress and in my misery and in my trouble, and I knew I needed him. I said, for this mess I'm in now, it's going to take God to fix this.
Yeah.
You know. And when I was in that mess, I remember my grandmother say, whenever you get in trouble, call on the Lord. And she had been dead since 65. So I don't know how that came up in my mind.
Yes.
And when I was sitting in jail with all my life and everything in my life being threatened, being picked up for substance abuse, and I thought I was slick back in those days, I'm getting away with everything, I'm doing all this and don't nobody know, and I know how to hide it and they don't ever find it. Whenever they stop me, I had my little game together, you know, and I wouldn't hurt nobody but myself and my family and all the folks who had to deal with me with my bad attitude and all that. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting over. I've been stopped by the police 100 times. They never have found my stash. And this day they found my stash. It's like, wow, you know. And that put me in the midst of trouble. Now I'm wondering, okay, what is this going to do? What's going to be the effect of this? Having that trouble in my life made me know this is something you can't fix. They start talking about me going to court and getting a lawyer and you going to jail and all of that. It's like, oh my goodness, you're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your family. You start thinking about what loss. Then you realize God bless you with your job. He blessed you with your family. He blessed you with money. He blessed you with all that stuff, and you misused it. And now you're in trouble. And this is a God-sized problem you got now. See, you can't just get out of this one, because they got you. They got the goods. They got you. They impounded your vehicle, carried it away, and you in a mess. And you wonder what you're going to tell the folks Monday when you don't show up at work. You know, and all of that. So you in a mess. And in my mind, I heard my grandma say, well, who you need is the Lord. And so, okay, I know the Lord, heard about him, haven't been talking with him much, but I think I need to talk to him now. So I started to talk to the Lord right there. And little did I know, he heard my cry. We sing that song, I love the Lord, he heard my cry. And he pitied every groan. He already knew what he was doing. He knew you need some trouble to get your act together. You so jacked up, you think you're doing everything by yourself. And now what you need is a dose of trouble. See? And so he allowed it. It wasn't that he couldn't allow it before, you know. But that was at that time, because he knew this is what's going to be your turning point. You're going to turn around now. Because now you calling on me because you know you need me. Not because your grandma, your grandpa, and all the folks prayed for you so you could come to the Lord. Now they in their grave and I'm still answering their prayer. See, I still hear their prayer. And I'm working on you. I'm giving you time. I'm just letting you see what you need to do now to do the right thing. And so when I called on him, much to my chagrin, if you will, he answered me. He answered me, but I didn't know he was answering me, but I just thought, okay. But I looked at how things went after that time when I really called on him from a sincere heart.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
People had been telling me about the Lord, and I had not really paid it much attention. You know, when I was in the depths of my trouble, that's why you read those Psalms. I'm going to enjoy it, but Brother Michael blessed me with some books defining the Psalms, and I know I'm going to really love them. Because the Psalms really, they really bless your soul. He gave me those for a birthday present. So I thank the Lord for that. See, he knows what a brother likes over there. So he knew exactly where to go to really get me what somebody would enjoy. And so, but in those Psalms, you see the psalmist crying out. Whenever he was in trouble, he's crying out to the Lord. And the Lord is answering him. And so it's in that fellowship that we have with God that we grow. And God blesses us. And it's not that trouble is good at all, because it really isn't. But it seems that life is filled with it.
Yes, it is.
And so what God has chosen, just to get us back into our lesson, I'm sorry to take that little road, side road there. But he decided that it's a very important thing. Humanity is the pinnacle of God's creation. He thought that it was so important that he decided in eternity past manifest in the Godhead to become one himself.
Yes.
So that he could have personal involvement in and to make redemption possible by his son shed blood on the cross. This was a decision made in the Godhead in eternity past, before he made anything.
Yes.
So you could kind of almost, and this is one thing I love about the word, God was doing things, everything God does is eternal.
Yes, it is.
Because he doesn't change. He's not sitting up there, you know, making things change, and God is the same.
Right.
That's a very important thing about God. Your theology, you need to know God is the same. He never changes.
Never.
He has never changed. There's nothing to change. Everything about him is perfect.
Perfect.
You know, it's complete.
That's
there's
right.
nothing missing.
That's
nothing's
right.
been added to him. Nothing's been taken away from him.
Yeah.
He is the eternal God.
Yeah.
That's why Paul said, in him we live and move and have our being. Because
right.
it's in him.
It's in
you
him.
Can't do anything separated from God.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes our minds, we're in our mind, in a human mind, we're thinking, oh, you know, because I just like I mentioned to you, a time when I was not calling on God, but it didn't mean God changed.
That's right.
You know, what happened was I realized I need somebody bigger, way bigger than me, because this mess is way out of my control, but it was never out of his control.
Yeah.
And he fixed that thing where I came out of it without a stain when it was all done. I could have been stained, fired, all kinds of stuff could have happened to me that never happened. And he was just waiting on me. The fellowship with God is the best thing you and I have. If we can talk to God about it, it's going to be all right. I don't care what you're going through, what you're dealing with, how big, how small. The eternal God is our dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms, Moses says. See, he's right there all the time, and he loves you. God is love, the Bible says. So that means he's always been love. The essence of God is love. Now, it doesn't mean he's so loving that he doesn't discipline or that he won't rebuke, because he does, because love does those things. When you love a kid, you want to rebuke them if they're not right.
That's right.
Because you got to straighten them out. I have been rebuked by those grandparents time after time, but I wasn't as heinous when they were around as I was later after they died and I didn't have their influence in my life anymore. I was a little kind of a little bad little kid running around doing stuff like kids do, but I wasn't indulging into some of the other stuff that came later in my life. And when I had them there to take me to church and to make sure I did right and to smack me when I needed it and all that kind of thing, I didn't get as bad as I was when they had died. And now I had a little bit more freedom to exercise some of whatever I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so at that time, that's when I got a little farther off the course. But God was there, and he was keeping an answer to their prayer. They had asked, I'm sure, that I would be in Christ and be saved.
Yes.
And so God still was working on me, even though that's why the Bible says stuff like the blood of Abel yet speaketh.
Yes.
Abel been dead a long time. He's the first one recorded in the word who died.
Yeah.
It was killed by his brother, and the Bible says the blood of Abel yet speaketh.
That's
see, right now today there's a message that we get from that blood that was shed from Cain killing his brother Abel.
Amen.
Right now. And so the blood of Abel yet speaketh.
Yes.
That means people who died before, their legacy goes on in time.
That's right.
See?
Amen.
They're still affecting
Amen.
What's happening right now just by the way they live their life.
Yes.
The way you live your life is going to be affecting people after you're gone.
That's right.
See? Yes. So you need to know that. It's a very important thing to know. And the eternal God has established that all people are going to be judged at the same time. That's because when it goes into eternity,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything will be the same time.
Yeah.
See, there'll only be one time. The Bible says there's coming a day when time won't be no more. So we have to think on that eternal level there. So God made redemption possible, and he dispenses believers once he gets you on his team. And he lets you do that. You have to decide, I want to be on God's team. I'm tired of being in the world and in the flesh. You can only be one of two places. You're either in the flesh or you're in the spirit.
Amen.
See, that's the only place you can be. Either you're in the flesh and you're in agreement with your flesh and the world and the devil and all the stuff that's going on, and that's your domain where you exist, or you are in the spirit. That means you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You believe that God raised him from the dead, and you are saved.
Yes.
And you are destined for resurrection and power from God.
Amen.
And God is empowering you right now if you're in his group. If you're in group two, as well, let's call it group one. I'm going to give us number one.
Yeah.
Group one is the number of those who trust the Lord.
Yeah.
See, The ones who believe God.
Yes.
Who are tuned in with the everlasting God.
Yes.
We trust him by faith.
Yes.
We belong to him not only in the temporal sense, because you know everything belongs to God.
Yes.
You know, and so he can do whatever he wants with it. That's what we learned in Romans 9. He is the potter, we are the clay. He can do whatever he wants with the clay. No one made themselves.
Right.
You know, so let's say the ones in with God are the ones who have special knowledge.
Yes.
God has filled you with his spirit.
Yes.
The eternal God decided to live in you if you trust in Christ.
Amen.
He took up residence in you.
Yes.
And he fills you again and again. He gets into the, in other words, he comes out of just his existence in you into the forefront of your mind. That's what it means to be filled with the spirit.
Yes.
So when you hear the word, it stirs up what God is doing in your life, puts it in the forefront of your mind, and it takes up a battle with who you are naturally, who you would normally be, and what you would normally do.
Amen.
That's why it says be filled. The Greek literally says be being filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
You know, in Ephesians, we're to constantly be being filled with the Spirit. It's something we do all the time, again and again and again, stirring up, like Paul told Timothy, stir up that spiritual gift that's within you.
Yes.
You see, don't let it go dormant and stagnant,
Amen.
Staying away on the fringe. Just get in the middle of it.
Yes.
Get in the middle. Fill up with what God is doing in your life. See? And so when we do that, then he says we can prosper in the Spirit. We move forward in the Spirit by walking by the Spirit. And Paul said it that way to the Galatians. He says, walk by the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit is against the flesh. These two are contrary one to another,
yes.
that you may not do the things that you would.
Yes.
You know, but if you're full of the Spirit, he says, it's going to produce love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, mm-hmm. faith, self-control. All those things come out of walking in the Spirit.
Yes.
We'll talk about that more later. But let's look at this. How do we get from state that fallen state into the state in which we're saved? And the answer is that the church has been made the agent of salvation on earth. And to me, that's just a wonderful thing. Your designation has changed from lost to you are saved, first of all, and now you are useful to God.
Yes.
God is able to use you right now because he has filled you with the Holy Spirit, and now he gives you a mission mind. Your mind is on a mission for God. How can I glorify God?
Amen.
You know, no matter what I'm doing, regardless of what's going on in my life, how do I give glory to God? That starts to be the focus in the back of your mind. It starts to be, how can I make my life straight? How can I fix the stuff that needs to be fixed? How can I be more sanctified? How can I be more holy?
Yeah.
More useful? And this is not some pious thing where I'm going to walk around and have people looking at me a certain way. It's not about that.
Yeah.
It's about how can I be of greater service to God?
That's it.
God loves me. He showed it. He displayed how much he loves me because he gave his son.
Yeah.
And I know that now right well, and I accept that.
Yeah.
And I know he's not saving me because of anything I did.
Mm-hmm.
He's saving me entirely because of what Jesus did.
Jesus.
He sent his own son to pay a bill that I could not pay.
My
bill was inestimable. In fact, I keep adding to the bill.
Yeah.
Let's be truthful here this morning.
Amen.
If you keep adding to the bill, which we do, you know, you don't even want to anymore. And you know what? I've decided this too, and I'm just gonna mention it today. I'm going to have to back up a little bit before we move forward. Not today, but when I get back from vacation, Lord willing. Because I think we got to back up just a little back to chapter 7 in Romans again, and then we'll move forward. But I just want to just mention that today, because I think there's some things that I discussed there that we need to talk about.
All right.
You know, we need to talk about it. We talked about it a little, but we need to take it into a deeper place, and so we're going to do that in the future.
Amen.
But what I want you to see here is God has blessed the church, the called out ones, as we are called. The Greek word is ekklesia. You've been called out of the world
yes.
to serve him and represent him.
Amen.
So that's a high place.
Yes, it is.
You know, it should be humbling when you know that eternal God that we just talked about has called you. And me to represent him.
Yes.
Wow. That doesn't make me get arrogant. It makes me go, "Woo! I'm in awe of that."
Yes.
Just to think that God has called me
yes.
to serve him. He has counted me worthy to serve him. He has equipped me to serve him. I can't be proud and arrogant about that. You know, I got to watch everything I do. I got to be prayerful about what I do. But I'm also thankful that he has done that. And this is what he has done. The word says that's what he did. Now notice this. The opposition is very clear. And I want to just take you one place that the Apostle Paul may have been thinking about when he wrote these verses in Romans 10. Nahum, the prophet, they call him a minor prophet. And that only means that the content of their writing was smaller in amount, in words. It doesn't mean it's less significant.
That's right.
Okay, Nahum only has a few chapters, so it's a very, very small writing. Joel only has a few chapters, but everything there is divinely inspired, no matter who they are. When you hear the term minor prophet, don't let that trick you into thinking that what he says is not as important as what the major prophet said. It's not about that. It's about the content of how many words were in their writing, and that's all. That's the end of it. So everything Nahum writes is powerful, it's from God, it's inspired, and you and I need to treat it just as we do any other scripture, the law or the prophets or anything else.
Amen.
Now, Nahum 1:11, there is one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord. See that? That signifies the mindset of lost people. He's a wicked counselor. We would say that's Satan. Satan is the one that's getting people to think wickedly, and he feeds the flesh and makes people be in the flesh and operate in things that are contrary to God and his word.
Yes.
Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet and likewise many, you see that? Yet thus shall they be cut down. That's the destination of folks who are lost and walk under the influence of the prince of the power of the air.
Yes.
Is that they will be cut down if they continue. And when he shall pass through, it says here, though I have afflicted thee, I shall afflict thee no more. For now will I break the yoke off thee and will burst thy bonds in sunder. Okay, in other words, God says he wants to free people who trust and believe in him. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee that no more of thy name be sown. God's going to cut off the wicked at some time. And we don't know when it'll be, but it'll be an abrupt thing and the wicked will be no more.
That's right.
Amen. So you want to be on that right side of God is what this really is saying, just in short. He says, out of the house of thy gods I will cut off the graven image and the molten image, and I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. See, so people who are contrary to God, he's describing here under the authority and the leadership, if you will, of Satan or the wicked counselor himself. But now he contrasts that in verse 15, saying, behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. See, now that's what Paul is talking about here. This is one place where there is a passage like that. There's a couple of others. We won't take time this morning to talk about them. But other people talk about how beautiful are the feet.
Yes.
Of those who bring glad tidings of good things. And so that's where you and I, we occupy the place of the people who are carrying the gospel into the world.
Amen.
You see, the fact that we take the steps necessary to get the word out to other people in the world, that God loves you, he has had mercy on you, he's giving you grace, he's made grace available to you, so that we publish the good news, basically.
Amen.
And we carry it as far as we can. That's our duty. The Lord commissioned the church, what we call the Great Commission, to go ye therefore in all the world and teach all the nations. See, in other words, with no respect of persons, just like God, whosoever will.
Amen.
That's the stance that God has taken. We're to go into all the world, teach all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
Yes.
That would be the content of his word right here. No, it's not a whole bunch of stuff. There's a lot of stuff here. There's more here than you can consume in a lifetime. You know, you'll find this is your lifeline if you really get into the word.
Amen.
And you'll find this is your mainstay. Nothing else is more important than what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And so, but you and I, I'm going to go back to that. You should be in awe of that. I am. We have been selected and called to go into all the world and teach.
Yes.
All the nations. That means wherever you are. The Greek literally says, as you are going into the world, teach.
Yes.
So that means wherever you are, whoever you're dealing with, in any circumstance, you belong to God all the time. You are the agent that God has placed in the presence of someone who may not know him to teach.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't mean everybody's a preacher or all that,
yes,
but everyone that is a disciple is called to teach.
Amen.
See, you have a teaching ministry, and you're doing it whether you want to or not.
Yes, you are.
You don't even have to say, oh, I want to consciously do this. Because folks know you. Jesus said it like this. He said, a city that is set up on a hill cannot be healed. And I have made you a city set up on a hill.
Right.
I have lifted you to another level in humanity.
Amen.
It cannot be hid. You could try to act like you're not a Christian. But sometimes I think some of us go some places where we know we shouldn't be there, and we try to act like we're not a Christian now because I shouldn't even be here. You know, and you're in a situation where you wouldn't even want to be seen, maybe. Yeah. You know, you have to be careful with that.
That's right.
And doesn't mean because a person is in that, they necessarily are transgressing either. So don't make a judgment on that either.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you are being seen. God put you here to make you a light.
Yeah.
He says that I am the light of the world, but when I go out of the world, what? Ye
yes.
are the light of the world.
Yes, we are.
You are lighting up the world because of what I'm doing in you, the work that I'm doing in you. So God has chosen to place the highest importance on the human factor by becoming a man to be able to redeem or to buy back fallen mankind out of the sin of Adam, thus declaring salvation for all who believe in Christ Jesus and rely only on his finished work on the cross as that means of salvation which is acceptable to God. See, you and I know that there's nothing we can do in our own human power to make us right with God, but that God has done everything necessary entirely.
Amen.
And given us a finished package.
Mm-hmm.
When you're saved, you're complete.
Right.
In him. There's nothing missing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may not feel like that. Your flesh might say, well, I don't know. Well, but the fact is, God has done a complete work.
Yes, he has.
In you. And now, that's why Philippians says over there, I think it's chapter 2, verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Yes.
So God is in you. He's not forcing you to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But he's there leading you and guiding you to all truth.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting on a light to go on in your head and get with his program.
Mm-hmm.
He made the deposit in you.
Yes.
It's like he put the full deposit in. Now you work it out.
That's right.
You know, I put the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is God.
Yes, see you.
And he is in you.
Yes.
He loves you.
Yes.
And he is the one, the other comforter that Jesus said, I'm going to send in my name.
That's right. Amen.
And he's with you now, but he's going to be in you, he told his disciples. So if you're saved, the Spirit of God is in you.
Amen.
Why is he there? He's there to lead you and guide you to all truth.
Amen.
He has a prayer ministry in you because you do not know how to pray for what you ought to. Romans 8:26 says. See? And so he prays for us according to the will of God. We don't know what to say sometimes. There are times when you got issues in your life, you have no idea how to address it. And you just feel like, you know, you just feel like, bam, what to do. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe y'all's life's not that complex. But that happens to me. There are times when I got stuff going on. I was like, how are you going to deal with that? You know? And God already knows. The Holy Spirit is there. He knows just what to ask God for. And that's part of Romans 8:28 that says, for we know that he works all things together for good. For those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. I got all y'all back. I got your back. I know what you need specifically. I know what's bothering you. I know who is in your way. I know what circumstances you're dealing with. I understand what's on your heart, what's burdening you and keeping you down and keeping you where you're concerned and worried. I know all about that. God knows that.
Yes,
you know how the Holy Spirit told the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He told the Jesus. Actually, he communicates with the Christ. The Christ is at the right hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
And he is making intercession to the Father. By the time your prayers come to God, the Father, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Your prayer is perfect. Don't let somebody tell you you need to speak some gobbledygook for God to know what you need. God already knows what you need. He's on board. He's in there. He understands everything you think, everything you're worried about. He understands when you understand victory and I got this and I can move on now. He knows everything about you intimately. And he's just waiting on you and I to line up our lives with him. See? So the church, who are the called out ones, we've been called out of that first group, the group that's with the wicked counselor that we just looked at. And we have been privileged and commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom to every person so that whosoever believes the message shall be able to receive faith and be saved. Now, think about this. I said able. Why? Because when you speak the word, It's the word of God that has the authority and the power.
Right.
Let's look at the Romans 10 scripture again here in verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever, see that, believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whoever.
Yes.
Yo, know, there's some terrible stuff going on. We probably have some testimonies that we wouldn't even want to tell. We only hear a part of anybody's testimony in the public.
Right.
We don't talk about certain stuff.
Yeah.
I got some stuff I would dare not say. And I'm glad you don't know. I'm glad you don't know. Because you might say, oh man, who is this dude here? You know. So, and we all have some stuff like that. Some ugly stuff we wouldn't even dare say.
Yes.
And God knows about all that too.
Yes, he does.
And he accepted us anyway.
Yes.
Loves us anyway.
Yes.
He's going to use you anyway.
Yes.
To help. Because why? Because he's not even seeing it. You know why? Because he put it behind that cross.
Amen.
And when he forsook Jesus, he forsook all that you did. And he accepted him alone. And if you trust in him, whatever he, however he sees Jesus,
yes,
is how he sees you.
Yes.
So you need to know that. So all that stuff, Micah 7:19 says he cast our sins into the sea, never to be remembered anymore. Now, look at Micah 7:19. You want a verse for that? God has forgotten about it. Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from
yes
us. See? So he took it away, so why do you still remember it? And why you keep thinking it's holding you back?
Right. Amen.
You know, you know, sometimes you have to watch that. We hold ourselves in check over some God has forgotten about.
Yes.
See, God isn't thinking about it. He's thinking about you have a mission. I have sent you into the world to teach all the nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I covered everything you owe on the cross.
Yes.
And so you are authorized by me.
Yes.
See, and that doesn't mean we get proud and arrogant. It should mean that. If you do,
okay,
you got the wrong understanding.
Yes.
To me, it's humbling that the God of all creation would call me,
amen,
to do anything and empower me to do with his work.
Yes.
You know, because we are his fingers. We are the body of Christ.
Yes, we are.
We are the hands, the feet, the fingers. We are the understanding, the ears, the eyes. We have all those parts. He's the head himself of the church, but we are the body.
Yeah.
So we're the body of Christ. So when somebody needs a cup of water, you give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
When they need some clothes, go get some and give it to them.
Yeah.
When they need some shoes, you get them, give them to them. Whatever it is they need, you do it in behalf of me. And whatever you do in my name, he says, you will not go without a reward. And so that's his deal. But notice this, the scripture saith, whosoever, that means God has a universal word out, and he always wanted to save the whole world. That's what he told Abraham in the beginning. In your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So the book of the law says that's true. No Jew can deny it. If you say Moses is right, Moses is the one who wrote it. And he said to a Gentile, for all practical purposes, that that in your seed, all the families, that means Jews, Gentiles alike, there weren't any Jews yet, shall be blessed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. And we saw that in the Old Testament. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's quoted in Acts 2:21 and Joel 2:32. Okay? Peter preached that on the day of Pentecost. He says that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now the question is, verse 14, and this is going to bring us to the end of our final point. He says, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? That's a good question, isn't it? How can we ask them to believe somebody and they don't know who it is? Hasn't been defined to them. And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? When you tell the gospel, they're not hearing you. Who are they hearing? They're hearing him. Notice that how that reads there. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? See that? So they got to hear about Christ. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Someone must preach the word. God has made it that by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe.
Yes.
Who does preaching? Who is it doing preaching? The right kind. The church. The people. Who is the church?
We are.
See, so when we go out and tell people the good news, that's the only way they're going to know. If you don't tell them, then no wonder you're acting like that. I've never told you about Christ. People have asked me, when you go to the jail, you ever find out what those people do? I said, no, I don't ever ask. Because whatever it was, the same thing I was doing. And if they want to tell me, they can, but I don't go there and ask. But you know what I do? I tell them, do you know about Jesus?
That's it.
He is the one who loves you. He died for you. Whatever it is you did, if you trust him, he'll make your slate clean. He'll be with you now in trouble. He'll see you through this whole thing. He will bring you out, you know, in due time. And he loves you exactly like you are. So whatever you did, I don't know. It's not my business. If you want to tell me, I'll listen. But I don't come here looking to find out what have you done. You know, because it doesn't make any difference. Whatever it is, you need to see that crucified one.
That's right.
And I came to tell you about him. He loves you just like you are. If you trust him, he'll see you through whatever you're going through.
But
that's what he did for me.
Amen.
And I'm a witness to that. See? And so they cannot hear without a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now, and that's what we're doing here this morning. I'm dispatching you via God. I'm standing in the place of God by his word, reiterating what he said. You go out and you tell the people in your life about Christ. So you're being sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet. Now, you know, we go get a whole lot of foot washings and little toe stuff done. What do you call it? Pedicures and all that stuff trying to make the feet beautiful. But you can have beautiful feet just by going and telling the good news. It doesn't make any difference. Amen. Because it's just beautiful that you would come and tell somebody who is lost what they need to do to be saved. Amen.
Amen.
And of course there's symbolism in all these things here.
Yes.
Now notice this, he says, but they have not all obeyed. It's not a matter of if they know all the time, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. The gospel is a command. I mentioned that in Sunday school this morning. We go out and command men and women to repent. Repent. God says, stop doing it your way, do it his way. That's what repent simply means, a simple explanation. Don't do it the way you've been doing it. Turn around from that way, trust God, let him tell you how to do it.
Yes.
He's going to do that right here. If you repent and believe that he gave his son to settle the debt, you shall be saved.
Yes.
See, and once you're saved, you're his. You've moved out of the group of the kingdom of darkness, the wicked counselor, into the kingdom of his beloved son. God has translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son, where we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin.
Yes.
See? And so now we're in a whole new group. God has forgotten anything you did that's wrong.
Yes.
Has promised to forgive you for anything else in the future, on up
Amen.
Until the time that he takes you up,
Amen.
Or until he comes back. We don't know which one will happen first. Either he's going to come back or I'm going to go to him. If I keep staying here, now that's what we see. Paul said, even though the outer man is decaying, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. And so we see the outer man decaying. We're all getting a little older, getting a little more arthritis. This is not a good thing, but that's the way it is. Like, I have to walk around with these. I can't go anywhere without my specs, or else I'm not going to be able to see anything up close. So that's telling me the outer man is decaying.
Yes.
But the inner man is being renewed day by day.
Yes.
God's building you up on the inside, and he's going to take away all the vestiges of sin. Everything that has been the product of sin in your life is heading for destruction. He says he's going to cut it off in Nahum over there. And the works and the strongholds of the wicked counselor can only be permanently destroyed by the preaching of the gospel. That God has made a way to a right relationship with him possible through his son Jesus for all people who hear and believe him. So doesn't that make what we do a little bit more where we can be anxious about what we're doing?
Yeah. Amen.
God has chosen to use us. Who else would be better than somebody who's been down and now you're up? You were dead, now you're alive.
Yes.
You were lost, now you're saved.
Yes.
And now he's using you to tell somebody else in the same condition what you had. Like one guy says, I'm just a beggar telling one man where I found bread. I found some bread over here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can come right over here, there's more bread there for you.
Right.
He is the bread of life, he wants to bless you.
Yes.
And he wants to call you his own.
Yes.
And so if you don't have that right relationship with God, it's not your fault. It will be your fault after this today, I'm going to say. You need to call on the Lord. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
God has promised to save you. You have not done anything for which he would not forgive you. He loves you just like you are, and you need him. And if you come to him any kind of way you want. Now, you could be here and be saved this morning. I want to ask everybody to stand for just a minute here. If you don't mind, stretch your legs at this time. Amen.
Amen.
And if you are here and you are saved, we accept a member by letter, a candidate for baptism, or for Christian experience, or you can be coming just as the first time. Either way, we just want to give you that opportunity right now. If you'd like to be a member of the St. Timothy MB Church, come at this time. We're here to accept you, and we will see through your discipleship and training. Amen. That's what we like to do, give you a clear understanding of the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen. Don't be ashamed. Come at this time. He loves you just like you are. And we're in the beginning of doing something great. So we want you to come right now. Amen.
To Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now, just now. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, just now.
Amen. We have done as God commands. We see there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. Amen. We thank the good Lord for a good word, amen.
Oh, yes.
It's always a good thing to hear the word of the Lord, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we thank God for allowing us to hear his word, amen. And we know it's falling on good soil.